It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.
Amen.
To wake up to a morning where God has allowed it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. To give us the activity of our limbs to be able to come to this place to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are many faces that I have not seen before, and many faces I haven't seen in a while. But it is a wonderful thing to see you on this side, hoping to see you on the other as well. We just ended our gospel meeting with Brother Antonio Montanez. Spent a wonderful, wonderful week hearing God's word being proclaimed.
Amen.
There is nothing like coming together to worship God, to go through the scriptures and find the things that we must do in order to be pleasing unto Him. You may be here on this morning, and you may not be a child of God. We would like to encourage you to listen to God's word. Think about your condition. Think about your position. And if you find that God's word is true, that you have not done what you're supposed to in order to become one of His children, that you may do that on this day. For tomorrow is not promised to us. James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. We need to make up in our minds to do what God is pleased with. Make up in our minds to serve Him until the very end. Our subject on this morning is godly families. Godly families. The scripture reference from the book of Genesis, it tells that God is the one that ordained families. He's the one that set that institution into place. And as we look at the scripture reference one more time from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, we would like to find that as God created the home, that the home need to remain as God has created it. No matter how many times we try to change it, it is still going to be the same. No matter what man says, God's word still overpowers man's word. We're going to have that selection of people that go about and change definitions of certain things. They want to change the structure to fit them, so therefore the definition is going to fit what they're doing. But as we look at the God-created home, we look at why this home was created. So in Genesis 2, verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. First, we find that it's not good for man to be alone. Now, we have some single men in the audience, and you may enjoy being single. And we got some single men in the audience that may not enjoy being single. Well, it's not good for you to be alone. See, when Adam named all the animals, what God noticed was there wasn't a mate suitable for Adam. Not good for man just to be here by himself. I've given him this task. I've given him the task to take care of the garden. I've given him the task in order to name the animals. Now I see that it's not good for man to be alone, so therefore I will make him a helper fit for him. That helper does not walk around on 4 feet. That helper does not walk around on her belly. That helper was suitable for Adam, a help meet. And it tells exactly what he did. He said, now out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every field of the bird, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds, of the heavens, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Brought her to the man. Now I want us to understand that as God did this, he did it for the purpose of man not being alone. For man to have someone that he could call his very own. Yes, we own pets, but we're not marrying any pets. We own automobiles, but those automobiles is not anything that we can marry. We can see all that God has created, but we find that as he created this woman, he brought her to the man, and then the man said, This is at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. It's a great thing. It's a great thing that God has done here, so that man would not be alone. Looking at his creation, God did not leave it at that, but he said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. His wife. No other wife, but his wife. And they shall become one flesh. They shall think on the same level. They should think about the same things. They should do the things that they're supposed to in order to make that home a godly home. To make that family a godly family. They should do their part. And we're going to look at some examples on this morning. We're going to look at some scriptures on this morning that we should identify with if we call ourselves children of God. If we call ourselves husbands and wives, there are some scriptures that we need to look at and we need to say, this is why I am a husband, or this is why I am a wife. And it's all because of what God has done. All because of what God has done. In the book of Proverbs chapter 2, and the verse is 17. Proverbs 2, 17. It is so great to be able to turn into God's words and see what we're supposed to do in order to be pleasing to him. So as God created the home, God directs the home. He is where we get our instruction on how to conduct ourselves within the home. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:17, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God? In other words, we find that there are some women that need to understand what their responsibility is to the home. How God conducts them, what God wants them to do. And we find there are many women out there full of wisdom. Many women out there that can be that inspiration in that home. They can be the influence in that home, in order that the man, if he is not doing what he's supposed to do, he look at her, he listen to her, and he becomes the man that God wants him to be. Then we have that man that just don't want to do anything. Or we have that woman that do not want to be the example that God would have her to be. So we need to look at it. You know, the old television program, Father Knows Best. It's not Father Knows Best, but it is the Father Knows Best. God knows best. I don't like it that way. I don't think God really meant for me to be with one woman and one woman only, or one man with one man only. I don't think that's what God wanted me to do. Well, if that's not what he meant for you to do, why did he say it? Why did he say it? Unto death do us part. Why did he say that? Why did he say for a man to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife? See, we have some men sometimes, and instead of cleaving to their wives, they're always going back home with problems that they have, talking to their mother. She just don't understand me. Why not? Have you really sat down to talk to her? Have you really sat down and had a good conversation with your wife about her being your wife and you being the husband? Have you ever done those things? If not, why not? We need to consider that. God's word is the standard. Not man's, but God's word is the standard. And we need to look at the standard in order to understand what godly families are all about. Parents, fear God and teach. Fear God and teach. What do children do? Their children to fear God. That's what we need to start doing. Many times we don't want to tell our children about God, but we tell them about everything else. We give them all the history that we can think of. We go and we look up the family tree and we tell them about, you know, this is what your great-great-great-great-grandfather did, father did. We tell them about those things. Let's tell them about what the Father did. He sent His only begotten Son in order to die for the sins of the world, that whosoever believes can have everlasting life. Let's tell our children about that. You've heard me say it before. It's not going to change. We need to continue to tell our children those things. We need to take our grandchildren, set them on our laps, and tell them about God. And when they look at their families, and they say, well, Grandma, Grandpa didn't tell me or didn't teach me the things that you're teaching me. They told me that love is not how you're portraying love, but love is like this. Sometimes it takes a child to tell the parents that they're not doing right because they have been taught by someone else. But parents, let's start teaching our children the truth concerning God's word. Let's teach them to fear God, to reverence God. Teach them by our actions what they must do. And as we tell them about God and tell them who we serve, and when they see that things are not doing according to His will, they too will change. In the book of Jonah chapter 1 and the verse is 9. Brother Butch, read that for us. Jonah chapter 1 and the verse is 9. Take your time. We ain't in no hurry. See, Jonah was given a message. The message was to go to Nineveh and preach the word that God had gave him. Jonah saw fit to run in a different direction. And when he ran into a different direction, Jonah found himself on this ship. And as he found himself up on this ship, he found that things were not going according to his plan. He was okay with it, but it still wasn't going according to his plan. And as the mariners saw what was happening, and they saw all these things, something came about. Brother Butch, go ahead.
Jonah chapter 1. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.
Jonah said that he feared the Lord. Did he fear him enough to do what God told him to do? Did he reverence him enough to say, now I'm going to Nineveh and I'm going to preach the word that you told me? No, Jonah ran in the opposite direction. And when he ran into the opposite direction, he got on his ship. There, things started happening. Things that, you know, the fishermen, we're going out today. We see that the weather is going to be calm. But as they got out there, they found out the weather wasn't calm at all. And it wasn't calm because of Jonah. But Jonah says, I fear God. I fear God. Do our family see that in us today? Do our children see the fear of God in us today? Do they see us reverencing God the way we're supposed to? We can talk a good game, but can we walk? Can we do what we're supposed to do? When God says go, are we willing to go? When He says teach, are we willing to teach? When He says baptize, are we willing to baptize? And when He says continue to teach them all things whatsoever commanded you, are we willing to do those things? Jonah, the Bible says, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the God, the Lord of God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. Reverence unto God. If there's so much reverence to God, again, we need to serve Him. We need to do what we're supposed to. We need to act like we fear God. We need to act like that we respect Him. We need to act like that we are His children. And I'm not talking about play acting either. I'm talking about we need to be acting the way God wants us to act. Amen. We need to be afraid of displeasing Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 11 and the verses 7. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and the verse is 7. See, there are times where we instead of being afraid of displeasing, we don't care. You know, who's looking? I don't see nobody looking at what I'm doing, so therefore I'm going to do wrong. No, God sees everything that we do. We need godly families. We need to know that when that television is on, it need to be on something that would be pleasing unto God. We need to have that radio station on something that would be pleasing unto God, or those CDs that we listen to, or those DVDs that we watch. It needs to be pleasing to God. When someone come in the room, are we going to turn it off real quick? You know, when our children come about and we say, you know, I'm listening to this, but you should not listen to it. We need godly families. We need parents that are willing to teach their children about God, teach their children what it means to fear God, of being afraid of displeasing him, in 1 Samuel chapter 11, and the verse is 7. 1 Samuel chapter 11, and the verse is 7. The scriptures read, he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messenger, saying, whoever does not come after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man. Fear came upon them. We're not going to do anything to be displeasing to God, because we do not want this thing to happen to us. Has anything happened in your life lately to make you think about, oh, I need to serve God better? I do not need to be displeasing to him, but I need to be pleasing unto him. Has anything happened? Has there been a death that suddenly occurred in your family? Or have you lost something that you treasured so much, but now you don't have it anymore because of something that you have done that was displeasing to God? Let's teach our children the right things. Let's become, if we're not already, godly families. And if we are a godly family, let's continue to be a godly family. Do what God says. Is this so hard? You know, do what I say or receive the punishment that I have to dish out. That's what God says. You know, he chastens those that he loves. He disciplines those that he cares about. But if we do what he says, we don't have to worry about that, do we? We don't have to worry about being apart from him. In the book of 2 John, the chapter is 1. 2 John, the chapter is 1, and the verse is 6. 2 John, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Nothing has changed. You love God, you keep his commandments. You walk in love. You do what is right. Do what God says. Jesus says it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You won't go away from what he wants you to do. You won't stray away from his word because you love him. Godly families. If we teach our children these things, how great our families will be. Now, it's saying that your children, when they get grown, when they get out on their own, that they're going to stay with God? No, it's not saying that. They're going to have to make up in their minds to do that, because they go out and they get married, they have children, and they fail to teach their children what they have been taught. So again, I say it goes back to the grandparents, falls back on them, and we need to teach our grandchildren the word in order for them to know how they're supposed to live. Do what God says. Be dedicated, right? Be dedicated. Are we willing to be dedicated to doing God's will? Or are we willing to say that I'm going to do all that you want me to do, Father? Because I want my home to be godly. I'm going to be the example to my wife. I'm going to be the example to my husband. I'm going to be the example to my children. I'm going to be the example to those individuals that come by to visit with me. I am going to be an example because I have had an example. I've had someone to instruct me in the way that I should go. I've looked at your word and I understand exactly what you want me to do, and I'm going to do those things because I know one day I'm going to have to give an account of all that I've done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, in the verse is 37. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. With your all, you should worship God. You should love God with your all. And I need to reserve something back in order to love this person here. Well, I need to reserve something back in order to love this thing over here. If you love God, you don't have to reserve anything back. That love for others is going to come. It's going to be there. But we need to love God with all that we have. With all your heart. With all your soul. And with all your mind. In Luke chapter 4 and the verse is 8. Luke chapter 4 and the verse is 8. You know, as Jesus was baptized and led into the wilderness to be tempted, or fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, coming out to be tempted by the devil, he was willing to continue to be dedicated to doing what the Father wanted him to do. Continue to be dedicated to looking at the Word and seeing what the Word says. Not what I feel, not what I think, but what the Word says. And this is the words of Jesus Christ to the devil, in which we need to think about, and we need to tell him the same thing. In Luke chapter 4, in the verses 8, and Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Him only shall you serve. I'm going to give it to the devil today. Tomorrow, I'm going to go back to the Lord. No. Serve God and him only. Tell the devil where to get off. That's what godly families do. That's what godly men would do. That's what godly women would do. And therefore, godly children would do the same. Teach your children. Teach the children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Teach your children. We send our children off to public school. Tell them to listen to their teachers. Learn what they want you to do in order for you to get to the next grade. See, we need to teach our children what God wants them to do in order for them to get to the next day. In order for them to be able to stand and say, "I am a child of God and I'm going to continue to do what God wants me to do. And therefore, I will listen to the teacher. I will get my homework done. I will get to the next grade because I understand in order to do these things, it's going to help me to get to heaven." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." We can tell our children that all the time, all day long. "You're supposed to obey me because the Bible says that you're supposed to obey me." What are they obeying? You tell them to go into the grocery store to tell the grocer that, you know, "Hey, you didn't give me enough change." Or, you know, I purchased this item, but this item isn't really any good. And it's really real good, but you just used all that you want to use and you don't want to use it anymore. So therefore, you go back and try to get a refund. People do that type of thing. Or you're in the line and you said, you know, "Hey, we trying to get this discount right here. You know, tell them that you're only 12 instead of 13. Is that a godly family? Oh, you're teaching your children what God wants you to teach them? Yes, the Bible does say for children to obey their parents in the Lord, but it also tells the father, "Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Lying is not the instruction of the Lord. That's the instruction from the devil. So therefore, we need to teach our children the right things, how to be godly. "Oh, you're pretty big for your age." "Well, I'm really not 12. I'm really not 13. I'm really, you know." You tell them your true age. Tell them your true age. But we need to understand that there are some parents out there that are not teaching their children how to be godly. And it's not because they have not been taught. It is because they have lost their way and they need to be found. Godly families respect. Godly families respect. They respect one another. They respect one another. Godly families, as they respect, they sometimes realize that it's not all about me. It's not all about what I like, what I want. It's about the next man. Are we willing to do that today? Say that it's not about me, that it's about the next man. I'm willing to help him. I'm willing to sacrifice some things in order for the next man to have. Are we willing to do that? That's what a godly family does. "Baby, we can't eat tonight because, you know, we're trying to help out this person over here. Or we really can't go out and see a good movie tonight because, you know, we had to make a sacrifice and do something over here. You know, sometimes the wife tells the husband that, and sometimes the husband tells the wife that, and then sometimes the children step up to the plate. And they say, Mom and Dad, I don't, they're asking for something. You say, well, why didn't I just give you an allowance? Well, you know, Mom, I've been looking at what you've been teaching me. You know, Dad, I've been listening to what you've been saying, and my friend needed something, and I helped them out. Sometimes we have to deny ourselves, right? So sometimes we have to say, it's all about the next man instead of about all that I want. I need to help this next person out. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 in the verses 34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Teach them many things. Let me get to the 8th chapter. Brother Brian, where you at? 8:34. And calling the crowd to him, his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. Are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to say, you know, Lord, I've been going down this way, and the way that I've been going down, I know that it's wrong, and I don't want to go down that path anymore. I'm giving up those things. Life of luxury, I'm giving them up. A life of sin, I'm giving it up. My family, I understand I'm supposed to love my family, but you know, I'm willing to love you more. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say that? Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. You see the importance of denying self? The things that I want, the things that's going to make me feel good. To deny self and say, I'm willing to follow after you, and therefore I'm willing to help the next man out. Can you see the importance of that? The treatment of others in Matthew chapter 7 and the verses 12. The treatment of others. See, we all like good things to happen to us. We all like good things to come to us. But when it comes to sharing with someone else, are we willing to do that? Or willing to make those sacrifices? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule, we call it. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Now we think just the opposite. You do unto others before they do unto you. And that is nothing good that you're trying to do to them. If you want good things, you need to do good things. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. You won't be able to give. You know, people say, you know, what the Bible says, it's better to give than to receive, does it not? But who are we? We're that man with his hand always out, wanting, but never wanting to give. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. The treatment of others. That's what godly families do. They help others. You see a person in need, you help them. You see a person that needs something, you give it to them. Well, who's going to give to you? Who's going to give to you? But Antonio kept mentioning Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and you all know that's one of my favorite verses. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Who's going to help you? God is going to help you. He has put us into a family that cares for one another. He has put us into the family of God. And if we act like we're children of God, if we conduct ourselves as children of God, we will have godly families. We will have godly families. We will know how to deny self. We will know how to treat others. We will know how to be kind and gentle. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verse is 6. 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verse is 6. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead. Though judged in the flesh, the way of people, or they might live in the spirit, the way God does. Living the way God does. Isn't that something? That we can live the way God does, that we can be kind to people, we can be gentle to people, we can treat people again the way we want to be treated because we say, this is what God wants us to do. This is what God would do. Jesus had compassion on people, did he not? Do we have compassion on people today? Do we show how kind we are in the things in which we say and the things in which we do? Colossians chapter 3 and the verses 7. Colossians 3 and the verses 7. As we put off the old man and we put on the new, there's a way that we're supposed to live. There's things that we're supposed to do. Colossians 3, verse 7. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, in a way of sin. But now you're changed. You say, I don't want to walk in a way that is wrong anymore, but I want to walk in a way that's right. He tells you in verse 12, but put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. See, you can't be godly if you have not put Christ on. You can't be godly if you're not walking and living the way God wants you to walk and live. You cannot be godly. So therefore, you cannot have a godly family. Love. Love, the Bible tells us, covers a multitude of sin. Love tells us, the Bible tells us that God himself is love. So therefore, in order to have a godly family, we must demonstrate love. Must demonstrate love. It's not a, oh, I don't love you today. That question sometime many years ago, Anita used to ask the question, you know, you say you love me, but do you like me? See, we can understand love, but what about the like part? Sometimes we have a problem with that. But if you truly love the way you're supposed to, liking is not a question. In Titus chapter 2, and the verse is 4. Titus 2, and the verse is 4. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Older women, this is your responsibility. To teach the young women to love their husbands and their children. You know, I'm going out tonight with my man. Who's keeping your children? They'll be okay. I'm going to let them stay home and look at TV. Your children need you as well. You don't always pawn your children off on someone else. And let me say this, husbands. When you're keeping your child when your wife is away, it's not called babysitting. That's your child. It's your child. You make sure you do what you're supposed to. But young, older women, teach the young women their responsibilities, because many of them don't know. They don't know because they've never been taught. It's like they've just been thrown into this thing that's called a family. But they need to be taught. They need some instruction. And as they receive that instruction, young women, receive the instruction. And do the things that God wants you to do in order for your family to be godly. In order for your family to be godly. 1, 2, 4. Try to get back there. Hold up. Got something else for you. I guess that's it. Well, what you know about that? There was another slide, but I decided not to do it. It's on hide. But I want you to know, as we talk about godly families, that instruction comes from God's word. It's not, again, how we feel, what we think. It's about going to God's word and doing exactly what he says. You're going to hear it to the day you die. If you don't follow God's instruction, you will not get into heaven. So why not respond today? Why not say, I want to become a child of God. I want my family to be godly. So therefore, husbands, when you obey the gospel, go and teach your family. Wives, when you obey the gospel, go and teach your family. Children, when you obey the gospel, go and teach your parents. Teach them, excuse me, teach them God's word. Teach them what God would have them to do. Is that not important? What is important to you? What's going to cause you to make your mind up to trust in God? If you're here and you're not a Christian, you want to become one, we invite you to come and make the statement, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're inviting you to come back this morning. We're inviting you to come back to the fold, inviting you to confess your faults, repent of your sin, and ask for the prayers of the church. We ask you to please come as we stand and sing.